You can turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. We'll be reading verses 10 through 15 in a moment. Today will be slightly different than some of our study in that we are going to spend a little time just talking about, in one sense, terminology, but in another sense, the reality of heaven and hell. And what we mean when we use those words. It's very interesting because the English language is a little imprecise. You've noticed that. And one of the things that we do in our family is we're kind of punny. And the English language just lends itself to that, doesn't it? I mean, so many things have double meaning. And you need to clarify what you're talking about. One of the things that I've found in life in general, and certainly in the Christian life, is the terms heaven and hell are used very imprecisely. And that's okay generally, but it does lead to sort of straw man arguments at times when people you're talking to and sometimes we're not even talking about the same thing. We might be arguing with someone about heaven and hell and not even talking about the same thing. And so we'll spend a little time on that today, just kind of clarifying and looking what the Bible has to say about heaven and hell. We're up to Revelation 20, and we're nearing the end of our study. We're nearing the end in the book of Revelation, and the end of time, the end of days. And we remember that at this point, the devil has been chained. The millennial kingdom, not today. That didn't get erased off of there, but Millennial Kingdom, we've covered that. The Gog and Magog Rebellion, the Great White Throne Judgment, we saw that happen, and will happen. The Lake of Fire, then, we saw that. We'll read that again today, the passage on the Lake of Fire. And then the Eternal State, what we call the Eternal State, God with His people forever. And we'll see what the Bible has to say about that Eternal State, too, as we think about that today. As we continue our study in Revelation, the Gog Magog rebellion we saw it would come at the end of the millennial reign, where that massive army gathered, and God wipes them out instantly. The devil is thrown into the lake of fire, the Great White Throne Judgment, where the current world will be dissolved, and all of the dead will stand trial. Every unbeliever will have to face this one final judgment, one final trial, and then God makes everything right. The lake of fire called the second death, we saw that last week, the final death, and more on that today. And then God will be with us together. As some people would call that heaven, and it's not really not true, but we'll see why that is today a little bit. So let's read this passage we read last week a little bit as well, and kind of consider heaven and hell, what the Bible says about it. The devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. From his presence the earth and sky fled away, no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. Books were opened, another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, death, and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. And then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. What a sobering passage that is. It's almost hard to say, but that's a fitting end for the enemies of God. That's the only right end for the enemies of God. What a sad state it is. Let's pray together, and we're going to look at several passages today and just this topic of heaven and hell. Lord, thank you for this sobering reminder of what is to come. And certainly are thankful that those that are in Christ are spared from the judgment and the lake of fire to follow. What a blessing. There's really nothing else in life that even matters. Thank you so much for that reminder, your word, to keep us focused in this material world, in this materialistic culture that we live on, and to do what is right, and to rejoice in the truth, and follow you, looking forward to your glorious appearing with great anticipation, hopeful that you will come again to take us with you, and we can be with you forever. We pray that you would bless our study and give us clear minds as we think on this topic of heaven and hell today. In Jesus' name. So this week, God sovereignly allowed me an opportunity to share with my uncle, and as it turned out, 2 days before he died. And this life is so fragile, and he was just in the shower one day, and all of a sudden his leg snapped in half. Can you imagine that? Just, and down he went. He had bone cancer, and it ate away at his bones, and he could no longer stand. Well, I went to see him, and there he was dying. I shared with him, shared with his family. I talked about that last night, so I'm not going to say too much more about that. Have visitation today, and his funeral is tomorrow morning. But here's the thing, why I mentioned that even. Because as I went to see my uncle, I love my uncle. He was a dear man, and he was a good old boy. And I went to see my uncle. What really struck me, for whatever reason, was there is literally almost nothing in this man's life that matters right now. And he asked his daughter, he could barely speak, and he asked his daughter to have me and my dad come and talk to him, because he knew that we know the truth right before he died. Hear this, nothing in his life mattered. Nothing. Nothing that he had done, nothing that he experienced, none of the fun that he had had, none of the work that he had done, none of the money that he had stored up. Nothing mattered to him because he was staring down the barrel of eternity. Now, that's easy when you're 2 days from dying, isn't it? You can sort that out. Not everyone gets that opportunity. Honestly, it's the truth for every one of us. The stuff that we care about so deeply in this world has so little eternal significance. And when you're ready from a breath to move from this life to the next life, the only thing that matters is if you're right with God. And here's what I thought. What mattered to him at that time was, what's next and am I ready for it? What's next? And am I ready for it? And isn't that the truth? This is the world that we live in. What's next? And what am I ready? And am I ready for it? And that's what we're studying in Revelation, isn't it? And there's really only two possible ends. There's heaven or there's hell. You may not like those terms. That's fine. We're going to see what the Bible has to say about it. And we can switch those terms for your sensibilities if you want to. We can call it the lake of fire and being with God forever if you need to. But heaven and hell is what we call them in the English language. Heaven and hell. Two possible ends. So what do you think? We're heaven first. Heaven first. Talk about that, and then we'll talk about hell a little bit. What do you think of when I just say the word heaven? Because you think of something. You do. What do you think of? You might think of a beautiful place, a sea-like glass with golden streets, a brilliant and glorious place from different descriptions of what we would call heaven, a place where your loved ones who have died may be, your family reunions and things like that. You might think of where God is, where God's throne is. But there are actually three uses for the word heaven in the New Testament. Very interesting. Very interesting. And the first use of the word heaven or the heavens is earth's sky. When you look outside, it's right and okay to call those the heavens. That's the heavens. And the earth's sky. And Paul, I believe, he wanted us to think of this as the first, second, and third heaven for whatever reason. So this would be the first heaven, would be the sky. God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the water, separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters and under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. He was separating everything. So it was so. God called the expanse heaven. So God called the sky heaven. There was evening and there was morning the second day. So the sky is one use of that. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. And that could be talking about just the sky, as it says, the sky above. It could also mean the second use of heaven, and that is outer space. So the sky is the first heaven. Outer space would be the second heaven. You multiplied their children as the stars of heaven, and you brought them into the land that you have told their fathers to enter and possess. The stars of heaven, outer space, the stars of the heavens and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be dark at its rising, and the moon will not shed its light. So talking again, the heavens, the stars, outer space, that's the second heaven. So we have, God wants us to think of the heavens as the sky, and then the second heavens would be the vast expanse of the outer space. The third heaven is probably what most of us mean when we say heaven. And you wouldn't think that that'd necessarily be a problem, but it does become difficult when we talk about Revelation and the end times, and you'll see why in a little bit here. But heaven, the spiritual realm where God is. And that's what it says. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. That could mean that he's in the sky. It could mean that he's in outer space. But really what it's talking about here is a spiritual realm where God's throne is. And he is looking down all the time and looking at us and following us and seeing everything that we do. The spiritual realm where God is. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see. His eyelids test the children of man. These are some pretty convicting verses right here anyway, aren't they? And told them to seek mercy from God of heaven. So God, he is God of heaven. That's where God dwells concerning this mystery. And so that Daniel and his companion might be destroyed. So this is a spiritual realm. It's not physically accessible. We can never make a rocket to go to the spiritual realm of heaven. It's a different dimension, if you will. It's a different type of place. And it's where God the Father's throne is, where Christ is right now interceding. 1 Kings 8:27, But will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, the heavens and the highest heaven cannot contain you, how much less this house I have built. Revelation 1, I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation of the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit, notice that. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me. So he went to heaven. And he had to be in the Spirit. It's not a physical place that he went to, but a spiritual realm. The idea of heaven is often confused then because of that. So they have the sky, they have outer space, they have the spiritual realm. And what are we talking about there when we say the word heaven? Heaven, believe it or not, and I, of course, have proof, I wouldn't just say this, is not our eternal destiny. And I don't know if I'm way too ticky-tacky or not, but whenever someone tells me, man, I want to be in heaven forever, I always think, man, you're going to be lonely. Because nobody is going to be in heaven forever. And we're going to see this in our study in Revelation. God is going to rechange everything. And what happens is God inhabits the new heavens and earth. He comes down to be with us, and that's the eternal state where we'll be. And you can call that heaven if you want to, but that's not what the Bible calls it. It doesn't call that eternal state heaven. So it's confused. It's not our eternal destiny. And we'll come back to this passage. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and earth had passed away and the sea was no more. God's going to make it all new with a new earth, a new Jerusalem, and his throne will be there. So heaven, I would say what we usually mean, or maybe the most accurate way, the heaven, the spiritual realm, is where God currently is and where his throne currently is. There are other words used of that. Paradise is one. Some people would like to separate the idea of heaven and paradise. I don't see any reason in the scriptures to do that. Heaven, where the spiritual realm where God currently is paradise. It's the same exact place. There's no reason to separate those. Jesus told the thief on the cross next to him, I say to you, you will be with me in paradise today. Where is Jesus? At the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for us. And he was going to be with him where? Paradise. So guess what? Heaven and paradise are the same place. Amen? Simple. Logic. Okay? It's called, the spiritual realm is called paradise because of what it is. Beautiful, amazing place. I know a man in Christ who 14 years was caught into the third heaven, that's what Paul calls it there. In the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, and I know this man was caught up into paradise. You see that? Caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. So I don't even understand why people want to separate it. There's some theological thing, but it doesn't make sense to me. It's the same place. Different word, we do that all the time. We say something, two different words for the same exact thing. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, the one who conquers. I will grant you to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Heaven is paradise. Paradise is heaven. It's also called Abraham's bosom in an account from Jesus. The poor man died, was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man died and was buried. And this was, maybe in your version, it might say, carried to Abraham's bosom. And so, called that sometimes, it's the spiritual realm where believers who currently die go. Some people would like us to think that God makes a distinction between Old Testament saints and New Testament saints, and there's different places for all of them to go, and some people get cubbyholed into this slot, some get cubbyholed into this slot. I don't find that in the Bible. I don't know why that's important to people. We get so caught up with our charts and all this different junk, and I think it's a little more simple than that. If you're in Christ, if you have faith in the living God and you've come to Him by faith, you go to where He is when you die. And we call that heaven. It's the spiritual realm. Every believer who is separated from their body in this realm goes to be with Jesus. We go to the spiritual realm where He currently is. And we tend to call that heaven. We think of that as heaven. The only problem with that's not where we're going to stay forever. It's not our eternal destiny, but it is. Even the issue of, we say this a lot, where God comes and takes me home, right? And I think that's out of that Philippians language, our home is in heaven. It's not here, our home is in heaven. And that is, we will be home, but we're not going to be there forever. That's not our ultimate home, our final home. Our final home will be in the new heavens and the new earth, and then on the new earth with God Himself. So, heaven, or the spiritual realm, is where the dead in Christ, Old and New Testament saints, go to be with Him. And we have evidence from Revelation that during the tribulation, people who die go to be in the throne room of God. So they go there as well. Every believer that dies is with Christ, is with God Himself. And He's promised that. I'm going to be with you always. Remember that one? Where I am, I'm going to take you to be with me. Remember that? You see, and so this just makes sense. This is a temporary place for the dead in Christ to go, and we call it heaven. We're going to see a little bit different with the other eternal state there. And that's why, for me, I don't know, again, it's too ticky-tacky. The eternal state is not heaven. I don't call it heaven. I don't want to call it. It's not heaven. We're not going to be in heaven. We're going to be on the new earth. I get to be with God forever. I get to be with Him in His presence, but not in heaven. Hell, and it'll be much better, by the way. I can imagine all this time Jesus has been remaking the New Jerusalem. All this time, how glorious it's going to be. Hell, what do you think of when you think of hell then? First, skipped a little bit. What do you think of? The word is thrown around. Very often, I'm kind of, now Jacob's 19, and so I'm not necessarily going to be a camp counselor again. Who knows? Maybe. We very often, usually it was just Jacob and I. Early on, we would take a whole group with Calvary, and we'd have, a bunch of us. But since it was just us, we would always get the overflow people, which was great. These last few years we were in with other churches, that was a lot of fun. But normally we would get a lot of kids from unchurched homes, kids that did not know Christ, very often. We had some pretty rough ones. And very often when I would be sharing with them about hell early on, many of them would go, "You said a bad word." Right? In our culture, that's kind of what it's about. Well, it's just a curse word. Right? People throw it around flippantly. What do you think of? The world has a lot of ideas about hell. Some say hell is experienced on earth. Oh, that was hell on earth. That was hell on earth. I've went through hell. Right? Some people think about that way. And some people firmly believe that, by the way. That hell is what you experience on earth. And there's no legitimate spiritual hell. Some say hell is an idea and it means annihilation. And when we read today, did you notice that they will be tormented in the lake of fire forever and ever? Were they annihilated? Is hell an idea of annihilation? You disappear, that's hell? We have a word for that, right? It's called annihilation. Not hell. Not what the Bible teaches us. Some believe and say hell will be one great party because all the wicked people go to hell and it's going to be 24-hour open bar and everybody's going to be partying. Now, I'm very thankful that last night at our party, we didn't torment anyone. You ever been to a party in the lake of fire? It's a little flippant, but that's not a party. There's no partying and torments. Some people think that it's a place where the devil rules. The devil rules hell. That's a very strong cultural argument or idea. And completely made up. No basis in the scriptures that the devil rules anything except this current earth. He doesn't rule in hell. He won't rule in hell. The devil will be tormented in the lake of fire and punished. He's not a ruler. He's going to pay for what he's done, not rule. Believers rule with Christ, not the devil. None of those ideas that hell is on earth, hell is annihilation, hell is a great party, hell where the devil rules, none of those are biblical ideas. None of them. The Bible does tell us much about hell. The word hell comes from the Greek word gehenna. It's used in this text here that I have brought up where Jesus says, better to enter life crippled than with two hands go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And it's a New Testament word used for the valley of Ben Hinnom, also called Topheth, a place of child sacrifice by fire. They would burn their children alive in the fire after some terrible pagan rituals. It's Jerusalem's garbage dump that is constantly burning, terrible, stench-filled place, full of maggots, very disgusting. And this place, this physical place, is a picture and a prefiguring of what the Bible has to say about the lake of fire, an unquenchable fire, a constant burning, a place of death and misery, and a horrible, terrible place. The stench of that place would be horrible. So hell, that word comes from gehenna. Another biblical word is death and Hades, as we've studied. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. The death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged. That text is interesting. I've given a lot of thought to that, where it talks about they gave them up, and then they were judged. And then it says death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. And I could read that probably two ways. The way I think it's intended for us to read is that death and Hades are done away with at that point. They're gone. They're no more. There's no more need for death in Hades, so they're annihilated. You could also, though, and I don't know, say that it's very likely what he means there is every person who was in the holding place of the unredeemed dead, death and Hades, were all thrown into the lake of fire. I don't think that's necessarily true. It could be because it also says that they were anyway. Anyone whose name is not written in the book of life was thrown in the lake of fire. It could mean either one of those. But death and Hades, we could call those hell. Hades is, people use that synonymously with hell, the word hell. And that is the place where the unrighteous dead are kept. Death or Hades, or death and Hades, the place where the unrighteous dead are kept. In Hebrew, that would be called Sheol or Sheol. And a fire kindled by my anger, it burns to the depths of Sheol, or devours the earth and its increase, sets on fire the foundations of the mountain. The Jews called that the place of the dead. He does not know that the dead are in there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol, that we've been reading in Proverbs in our study on the immoral woman. Takes them down to the place of the dead. So the place of the dead, a holding place for the unrighteous dead. There was a rich man clothed in purple and fine linen who feasted sumptuously every day, and at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being tormented, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side, and called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus and dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that in your lifetime, you in your lifetime received your good things, Lazarus in like manner bad things. Now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. And he said, I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. And Jesus using these words, of course, to prophesy that even though he rose from the dead, people would still not believe. But notice how the Savior paints this place of the dead. What a terrible place. This is not the lake of fire. This is not the final end. This is the holding place for the unrighteous dead. Torments again, a prison, a place where he just wanted a drip of water on his tongue. What a horrible place for a person to go to. Not a pleasant place. Place of the holding place for the dead, death, Hades. Also, the word abyss, you've heard used of hell. The word abyss in the English language. The abyss in the Bible actually refers to the abyss or the pit, which is a prison for demons. It's not a prison for humans, but a prison for demons. And this is talking about in Jude 1:6, the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority but left their proper dwelling, he kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. And that is in the place of prison for them, the abyss. God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them in the chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment. That word, hell, is actually translated from the Greek word that we get for Tartarus, Tartu, for Tartarus. It's a different place. It's not the same Gehenna, and it's not the same word for Sheol, which is Hades, but it's Tartarus. Very interesting. This is the holding for demons. They will be released, of course, as we saw. Great smoke flew up out of that pit, and then those terrible locust demons that were going to torment the earth. And then there also, we saw that the demonic army would also come from the bottomless pit. And so this is a place where the demons are held currently, not where the pit or the abyss is not where unbelievers go. They go to the holding place for unbelieving humans. And this pit has been in use and will be in use until the end of times, or the abyss. And that's actually where Satan is going to be rechained. He's out doing his mischief, and when he gets chained for the millennial kingdom, he's thrown into the abyss, into that pit. And then that is one of my favorite verses. It's shut and sealed, and so that he can't torment the nations anymore. So that use of hell is a little bit different, and that's for demons. There's that part of Revelation 20, verses 1 to 3, as we just studied, where Satan will be chained. And then the fourth use of the word hell is really just purely a cultural use of it now, and that referred to the lake of fire. Sometimes when we say hell, we'll mean the eternal state or the eternal end of unbelievers. And I think that's probably what most people in our culture mean when they use the word hell. They're really actually talking about the lake of fire. It's very interesting to me when you interact and you converse with people that so many people have widely different views of hell, and so many of them even think that their view comes from the Bible. Well, the Bible never talks about eternal torments. It means annihilation, right? The Jehovah's Witnesses teach that there is annihilation. There's not that real hell. It was interesting. I was debating some Mormon guys, and within 5 minutes, they told me there was no such thing as hell. Within 10 minutes, they told me I was going to hell. Which is it? Right? Very interesting. They will say, people will tell you, that Jesus Christ never mentioned hell. Really? Well, Lazarus and Abraham, and Jesus talked about hell all the time. He talked about that, and he used that image of that valley in Jerusalem as a vivid image to what hell was going to be like. He said, you know, you need to be holy because you don't want to go into hell. You want to go into heaven, even if you have to go in maimed. Very serious thing there for Jesus Christ. So there's a lot of those cultural ideas about it. So if someone tells me that, I sometimes will just let them. Sometimes if I want to argue, I might argue it, but I'll just say, well, let's just change our terminology then. What I'm talking about is the lake of fire. Does the Bible talk about the lake of fire? That way you don't have to let them get a straw man argument going if they want to talk about something you want, you know, oh, I want to talk about this, not that. The Bible has a lot to say clearly about the lake of fire without having to even worry about that terminology. A lake of fire where they are tormented forever and ever. That's something that people in our world need to grapple with. Bible tells us that this is an eternal punishment, a lake of fire. We could call it hell. We don't have to call it hell, whatever, but we do know for sure that there is going to be that end. So currently, hell, what we would call hell, is actually a prison. So heaven is currently a paradise for believers to go to. Hell is currently a prison for unbelievers to go to. It's a holding place for the dead. It's where all the unredeemed go until that ultimate judgment that we were studying about, that great white throne judgment when the sea gives up the dead, that Hades give up their dead, and they go and they stand before Jesus Christ seated on the great throne judgment. It's a place, you can call it death or Hades or whatever, but it's a prison for the unredeemed dead, and then the abyss is the prison where demons are held until they are judged as well. Neither one of them are a place for the wicked to party. And you can get mad about that when people say that really foolishly if you want to. My stomach hurts when people say that. I just, wow. You have no idea. And I want them to know the truth about their foolishness when people say that. Oh, I'm going to go down there. It's going to be great because Bob Marley's there and blah, 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 you know. Wow. No, it's not a party. It is eternal torments forever and ever in the lake of fire. And you need to wake up from your foolishness and understand what's going on there. If you die out of Christ, you go to a place of torments in prison, and you move from there to judgment and from there to the lake of fire. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. There's nothing funny about it. The lake of fire, then, hell is a prison for the unredeemed dead. The abyss is a prison for wicked demons that God has chosen to put them in there for now. And the lake of fire, which is truly going to be hell, is the ultimate end. And that's really the ultimate hell, or what we mean, the eternal state for the unredeemed. The lake of fire. Remember, I better wrap up, but I remember one of Pastor Bestie's boys, I think it was Demetrius, but I could be wrong, but he said when his parents were sharing with him one day about the gospel and about hell, he said, man, I'm heat intolerant. I didn't want to go there. I'm heat intolerant. You just imagine, even just a hot, humid day, how uncomfortable it is here. This is flames of fire that you're in, the torments of that. It's called a lake of fire and sulfur. A lake of fire and sulfur, so there's the nasty, overpowering stench of sulfur and the burning heat of fire. And the lake of fire was made for the devil and his angels, notice that, prepared for the devil and his angels. Never made for people, but people follow Satan to the lake of fire. People have to join in his fate. Crazy and sad, but it is what it is. The beast and the false prophet will be thrown in there, the first two, the only ones thrown in alive to the lake of fire. Then the devil will be thrown at last into the lake of fire. He will be there. It's a place experiencing God's wrath. Because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. Now, ultimately, that is to land you in the lake of fire to suffer that wrath for all of eternity. And you can imagine how horrifying that thought is. An eternal God with perfect wrath visiting that wrath on you for the rest of eternity. No hope of relief. That's what hell is. The lake of fire forever and ever. Unimaginable, unending torment with no chance of relief. My dear wife has a friend who she ministers to often, and she's often talked of committing suicide. And my wife, I think, very poignantly and pertinently says, that's the dumbest thing you could ever do, because then you'll be in fire forever with no hope of relief. No hope. Is that what you want? She said, I've heard her say that first. Oh, no, you know, kind of wakes you up, you know. Yeah, that's not, and it, yeah, that's part of, I think, the lure of suicide. The devil just wants people to make a foolish, eternal, non-reversible decision. Wow. Unimaginable, unending torment. The devil will not rule. The devil will be punished. That is an important point, isn't it? The devil will not rule in hell. The devil will be punished. I don't know where that idea comes from. Hell is for the devil and the devil's the ruler and it's a great big party and all this stuff. It's a lie. The devil is going to be, he's going to be tormented day and night forever and ever, is what my Bible says. Right? Lake of fire. The eternal punishment that we would call hell. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. And so that's what the Bible has to say about that. The lake of fire is eternal punishment. Heaven is righteous, eternal life with the righteous forever and ever and with God forever and ever. So in closing, I hope this helps you. I don't know if you care about this as much as I do. Terminology is important for me. And I hope this helps you in your conversations with people. It also encourages you in your faith. That God has clearly laid out what happens to you when you die. There's two possible chances. You go into paradise or you go to the prison. There's two possible outcomes of you for the eternal state. And you either go to the, and we haven't looked at this today, but we will later, you go to the new earth with God forever and ever, and the new Jerusalem there, how glorious and beautiful that is. Or you go to the eternal punishment of the lake of fire. Two possible ends. Two possible ends for all people. The lake of fire, eternal punishment and torments, or heaven with God. Our citizenship is in heaven. From it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, where we get to be in a place of a perfect place of amazing joy with Him forever. People can avoid the lake of fire. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Please be sure that your name is in the book of life by trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. If anything, the study of Revelation and the study of heaven and hell should do, it should sober us up about this life, amen? And it should have, and it should make our minds active and aware of the deceitfulness of sin, the lies of the devil in the world, and recognize just some simple truths that the lake of fire is real, and it's forever, and it's amazingly terrible. Paradise, heaven, the new earth, is forever as well. And it's amazingly glorious. No person has to follow the devil. I don't know why that is such a funny and exciting thing in our culture today, but no person has to follow the devil. The lake of fire was not made for people. It was made for the devil and his angels. Make sure that you're in Christ. And I would encourage you to share these truths with other people. Of course, I get a pass because it's what I do and people expect it of me, but I'm going to be sharing the gospel with probably 100 people in the next 2 days. And how fun is that? Take this message to your neighbors, to your friends, to your family members, whatever, and use these truths in those conversations. Clarify terms with people if they don't like the idea of hell. We can talk about the lake of fire instead of hell. And let's see how God is going to use us. Let's pray together. Well, God, thank you for your word that clarifies the imprecise nature of our human language, as well as just amazingly fills us with hope for us as people. Very heavy to think about the finality of judgment and hell. Wow. But at the same time, filled with rich hope and fullness of joy, because those of us that have trusted Christ are completely free from the penalty of our sin and the punishment of your wrath, that your wrath was fully and perfectly poured out on Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Wow, what a blessing. That the wrath, the specific wrath that was intended for me because of my wicked and rebellious and foolish heart, have already been poured out on Christ. He took that for me. Thank you. And that now in Christ, I am free from that. And have to look forward to just that eternity with you in the new earth forever and ever, in New Jerusalem, celebrating what you've done and who you are and worshiping you in person with others that love you. What a time of joy we're going to have. I just pray your blessing on the word that's been shared and just your help in us proclaiming this great gospel to others around us this week. And we pray that you'd make our lives fruitful.